Hi, and welcome to the Shoot From The Heart podcast with me, Diane Bell. If you want to write a script, make a movie, or quite simply live an abundant and creatively fulfilled life, you are in the right place. Each week, I'll share with you tips, techniques, and real-world information that will inspire and empower you on your path. Thank you so much for joining me. I am rooting for you all the way. Let's do this. Hello there. Hello, beautiful and amazing souls, screenwriters, filmmakers, creative beings. How are you today? I hope you're doing fantastic. I hope you're really well. I am recording podcast number 35. Is it 35 or 36? I'm not sure. It's 35 or 36. And this week's podcast topic is the path to directing. And I wanted to talk about this because two weeks ago, I did a session about daring to direct, about if you want to direct, sort of feel a little bit of the calling to, but you know, you're not sure what it is, you don't know if you have the courage to do it, all the things. And that was very, very popular. And a lot of people wrote to me and said, Diane, I think I do want to direct, but how do I make it happen? And so that's what I am here to talk about today, the path to directing, how you get to be a director, how you get that into that position. So just to start, in normal conventional ways to get hired as a director, for someone to employ you as a director, typically you will have done other work, right? There's something that they can see of yours that makes them believe you can do it. Now, let's talk briefly about movies and TV. So movies, whether it's a studio or an independent production company, the producer puts together the movie, right? So they will have hired a writer even, like they might have a project, they have an idea, or they have a property like a book or something. And then they hire a writer to write it, and then they're looking for a director. And they might even cast it without the director. It might be partly cast or whatever, without even having a director involved. And then they get a director involved, they hire a director. And obviously what they're looking for is someone who can execute the vision that they have for the movie that they believe will take it even to the next level, right? So they're obviously going to be looking for someone that already has some kind of track record. They're not going to typically hire someone who's not directed anything. They're definitely not going to hire someone who's not directed anything. They might hire someone who has directed commercials or short films or music videos before and who really has proven that they have what it takes. But they're not going to hire someone who's never done anything before. It's not going to happen. They might also hire somebody, obviously, who has directed other films that they admire, that fit with the same kind of vision of what they're doing, that they think show that this director has talent. In TV, it's kind of the same, but it's a little bit different because usually as well, they will be looking for someone who has worked in TV before. And if you haven't worked in TV before, and even if you have, they will want you to shadow a director of the show. And it's very different because obviously with a TV show, if you're getting hired to direct an episode, they don't want you to come along and be stamping your vision on their TV show. They have their vision. Your job is to execute their vision and stick very closely to what the show is, to the look and the feel and the rhythm of it. You're not there to sort of reinvent the wheel at all. You're there to be part of the wheel. I have never actually directed TV. I have been up for TV jobs before. I never got them. But I would say it's obviously like quite a political game, I think, for people who choose to go down the path of directing TV, of really pleasing your producers, pleasing the showrunner, pleasing the network or the cable channel and so forth. So you're not really sort of like a free agent in that sense. So the question is, of course, if you want to get hired as a director, and you might not want to get hired, you might already be like, I don't want to get hired by other people. I just want to do my movies, right? And that is the thing, like before you get hired by somebody else, you are going to have to hire yourself, right? And you'll have a choice about how you're hiring yourself. You could be hiring yourself for a short film. You could be hiring yourself for music videos or commercials. You could be hiring yourself for a feature. And so let's talk about what that would look like. What is hiring yourself? What that would mean is that in a sense, you're becoming the producer. You're becoming the person who puts it together and says, I'm going to direct this thing, right? And the moment you do that, I feel like you become somewhat responsible for making the production happen, right? Whether you're going to still get producers involved, like you're going to go, okay, I'm going to do this feature or I'm going to make this short, and therefore I'm going to find a producer who will help me, and you'll find them. But you're going to be the first person, like you're the seed rather than the producer, and you're going to find the team and grow it out from there. Whereas in the big sort of like studio films, it would typically be the producer that starts it. So if you've decided you want to direct, you want to be a director, what I would recommend you do is you decide on a project that you want to direct, and then you make it happen. Right? That's how it works. So whether you decide that you want to make a short film, whether you decide that you want to direct a music video, whether you decide that you want to direct a commercial, and it's not necessarily that someone's going to hire you to do a commercial. You would probably direct a spec commercial, which is like you create, it's like a short film that is a commercial for something, but it's not really going to be, it's just used as a sample, as a calling card for you to direct other commercials. Right, so you can choose what you want to direct. You might want to choose immediately to direct a feature film. As I said in the last episode, well, two episodes ago, that's completely legitimate. You don't have to direct these other things in order to direct a feature. That's not how it works at all. If you want to jump straight to directing a feature, you 100% can do that. Okay, so you can go straight to directing a feature. So you as an individual, when you've decided you want to work as a director, you decide what kind of project you want to do, and then you make it happen, right? So that might be a little daunting, but you decide, right, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this feature film happen, or I'm going to make this short happen, whatever it is for you. What I would say, if you're thinking, should I do a feature, should I do a short, I just always go, like, do what you're called to do. Make the thing that you want to make. I don't like getting too intellectual or strategic, in a sense, about these kinds of decisions. I think that really what should fuel the decision is your passion for a project. That you decide you want to make a short because there is a story that you want to tell that is so great and you think you could make such a great film, and it happens to be something that would be 5 minutes long, or it happens to be something that would be 10 minutes long. It's like whether you should write a short story or a novel. It's like really the decision should be fueled by what is the story that you feel passionate about telling and what is the format that is best to tell that story in. It's not sort of thinking, well, I think that novels are a much smarter thing to spend your time writing. You know, so I really would just urge you not to think that way, but really to think about what stories do you feel right now like you would burn to tell, like you're desperate to tell this story or that story. And that's what you should do. The fuel for any project, I mean, the reason any film gets made is because one person is completely passionate about it. Now, as it goes on, hopefully more than one will become passionate about it, right? More than one person will be like, oh, we've got to make this movie. This movie's going to be great. But in the beginning, every time, it is one person going, this would make an amazing movie. This would be so great. One person who is willing to fight for that movie, who is willing to get uncomfortable for that movie, who is willing to do everything that it takes to get it made. There's always one person like that for every single film that gets made. And as I said, ideally what happens is as the progress goes on, as you start to get a whole team involved in a movie, then there will be two people who feel that way about it, or maybe three, maybe you get lucky and there's four, you know, for whom it's not just a job, but it's really like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, we're making something amazing. But in the beginning, it's one, and you have to be that one, you. That's how it starts. And for you, if you want to be a director and you want to get your own project off the ground in order to hire yourself as a director, you have to be that person about the project that you choose to do. And you have to like be willing to do whatever it takes to get it made. Does that make sense? So once you get into that position, you commit yourself to being like, I am going to do whatever it takes to get this made. I am directing this project, and you just pull on your sort of your big boy or big girl pants and you say, I'm doing this. Everybody can laugh or whatever, but I am going to direct this. And you start making it happen, and you look for people to surround yourself with. You start to bring your team together who are going to respect your vision, who are going to be excited by what you want to do, who are going to get behind you. And you will do that through your passion for it. I mean, really, that's the currency of this more than money. It's really like that your passion for the project and your passion for the vision that you have for it is what is going to bring that team and ignite that team and excite that team so that you really do make it happen. I know for a lot of people, like, it takes a lot of courage to make that step to say, I'm going to direct it, especially if it's your first time, like first time directors, right? It's scary to take that hat on. But if you feel that passion for your project and if you feel that desire to direct, there's no reason you shouldn't do it. There's just no reason. So just get over it. You know, I know people talk about the imposter syndrome. It seems like it's one of the most popular things in the world is to talk about imposter syndrome. And I'm always just like, yeah, of course. Whenever you do something new, whenever you do something you've never done before, you're going to feel like an imposter at first. And you're going to meet meeting people and you'll be saying, I'm going to be directing this project. And they'll be like, well, who are you to direct it? And it's fine. Like, I just could just own it. Be honest. Like, yeah, this is my first time, but I'm totally confident about it for these reasons. You know, you just wear it. You just own it. So once you've made that decision, really, it's really just a matter of pulling together the project. If it is a feature that you have chosen to do as your first gig where you're going to hire yourself, and I say hire yourself because you're going to get paid, right? Like, you're going to help create a budget. You're going to raise the money. You're going to make the project happen. You'll pay yourself. And so you'll get paid for doing the job and hopefully it will all go fantastically well. And as a result of that, it will be easier to raise money for the next project. Or after that, you might get hired to actually do something for somebody else. Like, either of these things are possible, right? But none of that is possible unless you, first of all, take the leap of hiring yourself, okay? So one question I know that comes up for people is that sort of thing. Well, how do you raise a budget? Like, how do you get $1 million to make your movie? I always remember reading Dove Simmons' book, The 2-Day Film School. Have you guys ever read that? I think it was great. I think, like, this is the one thing that I remember for it. I don't really remember anything else, but it did definitely help me when I had decided to make my first film. And I remember he has a thing where he says, how do you get $10 million to make a movie? You make one for $1 million. That's good, right? How do you get $1 million to make a movie? You make one for $100,000. That's good. How do you get $100,000 to make your movie? You make one for $10,000. That's good, right? And I think it's really true. There's a lot of truth in that, that obviously you prove yourself at a certain level before people will trust you with more money. It makes sense, really. So if you're wondering how to raise money or how to make money, you know, how to get the money for your movie, which is always a big question for everybody. How do I get the money? I just go, like, you start where you are, first of all, and you start with what you feel you can raise. If you feel like it's possible that you could raise $100,000 and you feel like, yeah, that's doable for me, then that is what you will go after, right? And if that feels like just, whoa, $100,000 is so much money and I cannot in a million years imagine anyone giving me that and I can't imagine how I could get that, you have two choices. One choice is you do the work to change your brain and change your mindset about that, right? Because it's that old thing, change your mind, you change the world. So you could do that work, or you set your sights lower and you say, right, I'm going to start out with something that I can do for 10,000. It's your choice. It's just whatever works. So the ideal though here is just you figure it out, you make it happen, you hire yourself and you direct. And that is for most people, like I was thinking about it, I'd love for you to like look at filmmakers that you love. I would say all filmmakers start by doing that, by hiring themselves, by making stuff themselves, whether they make shorts, whether that leads to them then directing music videos and commercials, and then they get hired to direct features. That's one path. Or whether they just decide to hire themselves as a feature director and they make a feature, they make two features for a small amount of money, and then they get hired by other people to make films. Chris Nolan is obviously famous for this. I think his first film was The Following, which he made for $50,000. And then that led to, he was like the classic Dove Simmons thing, actually, because, you know, he made his first movie for $50,000. And then from that, he got hired, I guess, to do, well, he didn't get hired. He managed to raise the money to make Memento, which was like over, which was about a couple million, I think, 2 to 5, probably. And then from that, he got Insomnia, which was like 10 to 20. And then from that, he got Batman, right? You know, so it's that's the sort of like, I mean, he's the classic trajectory. And it may not go that way. It may go something else. But, you know, starting with something small and doable and manageable that you can make happen, that's the way really to go with it. So the path to directing, as I say, for everybody, it might be something different. There are many routes. Your path will be unique. The number one thing is that you decide that it's what you want to do and you claim it. And then you make it happen. You just decide, you choose, and you direct. And I say this about everything. If you want to learn how to direct, like, the number one way to learn how to be a director is by directing stuff. You know, you will learn pretty fast what the job is and how to do it. The number one way to write a screen, you know, to learn how to write a screenplay is by writing one. You know, you don't learn just by reading things and going to classes and whatever. You really learn by doing and making it happen. So your number one concern, if you want to direct, is to make a situation in which you can direct, in which you can learn about it and do it and make it happen. Next week for the podcast, I'm actually going to talk about the art of directing. I think I haven't been answering questions. There's been different things coming up as I've been talking. I'm going to have a look at them now. But next week, I want to talk about actually the art of directing and talk a little bit about how to do it successfully if you are choosing to go down that path. And I want to make sure you know that very soon I'm going to be sharing a new training about the keys of successful filmmaking. And basically, I'm going to be opening the registration to the Shoot from the Heart Filmmaking Academy in September. I'm so excited to do that. This is the second time this year. So the registration opened in January, and now it's going to open again in September. And this academy is like, it's the course that will guide you through the whole process of packaging your film, raising the finance, making it happen. You know, if you are feeling a calling to making a film and making it happen yourself, if you feel the calling to direct and you want to, like, you want to know how to just make that happen, how to put a film together so you could direct and make your movie, then this academy is like the solution. It's an incredible course. I don't want to call it a course because it's not a course. It's 8 modules that cover every part of filmmaking, from development through to putting together a package to raise money. So that covers hiring crew, getting crew together, getting your budget and your schedule together, putting your business plan together. And in the academy, you get like live concrete examples of all the different documents. You get an actual schedule, an actual budget. You get the actual business plan that I used to raise $180,000 for one film. So you get all of those things. You learn about how to raise the finance, who to go to, how to go to them, like what to say to them. You get all the things. And it then takes you right through pre-production, production, every single stage of the filmmaking journey, right through to distribution. So it's an epic sort of resource. I think it's a resource in a way more than a course, because it's something that you just refer to as you go through the process of making your movie. In addition to the actual, all the pre-recorded materials, and there's like, I mean, I guess there's over like 10 hours of pre-recorded materials that you get. But in addition to all that, there's also a live component. So you get Zoom calls once a month with other filmmakers and with me. And those are really gold. I mean, just every month we just get together and the filmmakers are all at different stages of their process. But I think the support of a community and other people who are doing it and being able to ask questions, being able to vent, being able to, you know, share triumphs, all the things, it just really keeps you going. Because I think one of the hardest things for most of us when we're trying to put together a film is the loneliness. I was talking about this earlier in this session, just that most films happen because of one person's passion. There's one person who's like really driving it. That person is you, you know, that person is you. And for a long time, when you're trying to get a film off the ground, it's like, nobody cares. I mean, nobody cares. In fact, more people care about saying no than saying yes. And it's only you that really sees that this film is so brilliant and it has to be made and it's going to be made. And that's a tough period. That can be a tough time. And especially when you feel like you want to make this movie and, you know, maybe you're dealing with a lot of rejection with it. You're dealing with things not working out as you want. I know one thing about filmmaking. It never goes the way you think it will be. Anything, any part of it. It's really setting off on a mystical and mysterious journey, I think, when you commit to making a movie. Because it just, no matter how well prepared you are, and I think of it as being like a boat trip to a remote island. I just go, no matter how prepared you are, like you've got this great boat and you're convinced it's wonderful and you've packed it up with all the best food and all that, I'm telling you, when you get out to sea, it's never what you expect it to be. That's just the nature of making movies. And it's the nature of it at pre-production. I mean, it's the nature of it in development. The whole way through, you'll just be bombarded with unexpected things. Just like a person out at sea, it's never predictable. So I think the Academy and those calls just really help people stay on course, you know, when they're feeling like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And they're floating out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, totally lost, thinking, why did I try to do this? Those calls just remind them why and keep them on track and help them get where they want to go. So it's really a cool thing. So do watch out for that. Stay tuned. I will be sharing information about the free training that I'm going to share very soon. And that will give you an idea if the Academy is the right fit for you and if you wanted to join the Academy. Now, to wrap up, I'm going to have a look to see if there were any questions. I think there were. Yes, scary, but do it. Exactly. Choosing to be a director is scary, I think, for many of us, because we're so conditioned into thinking of the director as being kind of like the boss and are we up to it and all this kind of stuff. And I just invite you to rewrite the idea of what a director is and just look in the mirror and say, that's what a director is. That's who a director is. It's me, you know, and I can do it the way that I want to do it. Razak, filmmaker, said, what makes us a good director? Of course, knowledge is the key, but what other aspects should we keep in mind? To me, a good director is somebody who, on one hand, has a great understanding of the language of cinema and the tools at their disposal to create cinematic art, right? That's like one aspect of it. And the other aspect of it is the ability to communicate that and to inspire the people around them. That would be my two things. So on one hand, and I suppose that's what you mean by knowledge, for me, the knowledge isn't like technical knowledge. The knowledge, though, is knowledge and understanding of the language in which we're working. You know, because I think a boring director, or, you know, a banal director for me is somebody, you know, who does it by numbers, right? And whose understanding of the language is very limited. If you think about books or something or literature, there's people who write stuff that's just really pedestrian and dull and doesn't really make use of the form in which they're working. And then there's people who just elevate it, right? Who are just using the language in such extraordinary ways and also spinning a great story and also having these amazing characters and all the things. And I think a good director has the same thing. And it takes an understanding of cinema, though, to do that. You know, it really takes studying a lot of movies, I think, to really be a good director. So that you, when you approach directing a scene, you don't just do it in the by numbers way. You don't just do it in the obvious way. You know, it's like master shot, coverage, you know, mid shot, close up, right? But you really explore how to tell that scene, like how to film that scene in a way that fits the story. And it's always about the story. Like, how do you use every bit of your instrument to tell that story? And every bit of your instrument is, I mean, it's the position of where you're going to put the camera, how the camera is going to move, where you're going to cut, how you're going to cut, right? What are the colors in front of the camera? You know, what are the textures? Are we close to people? Are we far away? Like, all those kinds of things play such a big part into it. And then, of course, the sounds, right? You know, the soundscapes that you're going to create, the music, all of that. So it's just like there's so many aspects. I love Tarkovsky's thing that directing or filmmaking is sculpting in time. I think that's like just a very interesting thing to ponder. But definitely, you know, it's like, what we have all these different things, all these different choices that we get to make. And I sometimes think being a director is just making choices. It's just like from the beginning, it's just choices, choosing things. Okay, do I want the red car or do I want the blue car to be the main picture car? And why? Why would you choose one rather than the other? Do I want that actor or that actor or that actor or that actor? You know, casting, right? And why? Like, what is the vision for the movie? You know, the interior of the main character's house. Do I want it white walls? Do I want it gray walls? Do I want it black walls? Do I want green walls? Like, and why? You know? And nothing to me, in a good film, nothing is by accident. Nothing. Even if you've chosen to go down a verite kind of style, so you're not making a stylized movie, but you want your movie to seem like a documentary, then that in itself is deliberate, you know? So you've decided, I don't want the costume designer to talk to the production designer, right? Like, I want to keep them way separate because I don't want the costumes and the production design to sort of match. I just want it to be like all like real world, like chaos, you know? But these are all decisions. So everything is a decision for a director. And a good director is one who is making all those decisions based on a very deep understanding of the story they are trying to tell, so that every decision that they make is playing into that and is strengthening the story and is making the story just like, whew, undeniable. I mean, that would be my thing. But I said the other aspect of that, obviously, is the ability to communicate it. So if you, it's such a people job, right? I mean, when you're on set, but the whole process of it, there's so much. You have to be a good communicator. You can have the greatest vision for your movie in your head, but unless you are able to explain it to other people, unless you're able to help them visualize it before you have made it real, you're going to struggle, right? So being able to communicate that, and that is also working with actors. I mean, obviously working with actors, to me, for most films, I would say for 99% of movies, is going to be so important. Because if you don't have good performances in your movie, everything else can be phenomenal. You could have the best sets, the best camera work, the best lighting, the best music, the best everything. But if the performances aren't good, if it's not believable, then you don't have a good movie. So that ability is also super important. I hope that helps. As I say, that gives us a little taster for what we're going to be doing next week, talking a little bit more about the art of directing. All right, you guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. I hope you're all having a great day. I filmed this today rather than yesterday because I just got a dog yesterday. I don't know about you guys, 2020, what a year. I'm now a homeschooling mother with a dog. This is crazy. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you guys are doing great. Stay well, keep looking after yourselves and your families. Let's get through this healthy and in one piece, and make your movies. If you want to direct, direct. Period. End of story. It's your time. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so lovely to spend this time with you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. As always, if you have, I would love to hear from you. Either you could leave a review for it wherever you listen to this. I appreciate reading those so much. And obviously it helps reach this podcast to other people. Or hit me up on Instagram. I'm on Instagram basically every day, at Diane Bell. I love to hear from you. For information on my courses, check out www.dianebell.com. I love you. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week.
If you want to build more sustainable eating habits, Noom Weight can help. Our program uses psychology to empower you with the practical knowledge and skills you need to build long-lasting habits and behaviors. Our personalized courses use scientifically proven principles like cognitive behavioral therapy to help you better understand and manage your relationship with food, one meal at a time. So, whether your goal is to feel more energized, boost your mood, or improve your stress levels, Noom can provide you with the expert guidance and tools to make it happen. Best of all, you're in charge of how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. 5, 10, or 15 minutes. How much time you want to spend on your program is up to you. We won't tell you what you can or can't eat either, because we don't believe in good or bad foods. Instead, we'll provide you the support and wisdom you need to make informed choices that fit your lifestyle and health goals. Start your trial at noom.com/habit. That's noom.com/habit.